And we're back. And today I wanted to start off with explaining the concept of a trolley problem. And before we get to that, ask the question, is it okay to kill someone or directly be responsible for their death? So to get into the trolley problem, I want you to imagine that you're standing looking at a railway in front of you, and in front of you is a lever or like a junction switch. So a train car will come careening down the left-hand side of the railway track, and then there's a fork in the track. So there's one route, which it's currently on, which has five people secured onto the track, which means that if the train goes down that track, it will just kill all five people. On the other track is just one person tied down to the track. So at the moment, the train, if no action is taken, will come down the railway track and kill five people. If you pull the lever in front of you, instead of going down the track with the five people on it, it will instead go down the track with the one person on it, killing them and only them, and leaving the five people still alive. For some reason, there is something so amazing about this problem, and it is my absolute favorite way to visualize a problem, and I just love this concept. So, taking this problem framework, you can pretty much replace it with anything. Even in a real life work environment or day-to-day living, where you could consider taking no action to be the five people, and then taking an action to intervene to push it down the other route and be responsible for that outcome. So now we're going to move on from the trolley problem, but keep that in mind. It'll be important later. Now, in video games, there's a concept of basically what you play against. So for the longest time, there's traditionally been about two or three, and these have usually been either PVM or PvE, player versus monster, or player versus environment, which means that you're fighting against an NPC or like a someone that's not another human, essentially. And the alternative to that has traditionally been PvP, or player versus player. So that's where one player fights another or other players in some form of combat or style of matchmaking. Now, for this particular example, we want to look at RuneScape or old school RuneScape, and a part of that game or an area of that game called the Wilderness, which is like a massive player versus player area, which is essentially like cowboy western, like anything goes kind of thing. And it's basically you rock on in and you can kill other players. To varying degrees of success. And associated with that, they usually have also very high PvE or skills-based in-game money-making methods in this area as well to build this essentially high-risk, high-reward scenario. So what tends to end up happening is the people who come in who aren't really interested in PvP activities, they come in because of the exceptional money making, or for them, there's a rewarding experience there in some form of they get a reward or a high value item or like pet drops and stuff like that. Doesn't really matter, it's just fun to do or has some form of reward or return. And this brings us to basically the third point or data of interest, which is Venezuela in particular is currently in a state of their currency being hyperinflated or basically being worth next to nothing. What that means is basically they can't take their currency and spend it because no one will take it because you need such high volumes of it that it's not worth it. So we're talking like wheelbarrows full of cash to buy things because the currency is worthless, which is typically caused by just printing off more and more money to try to address another issue, which just fucks it over even more. What this means is that the residents of Venezuela or citizens or whoever's working there basically can't work jobs in the country because they would get paid in the local currency and in reasonable amounts of the local currency, which is virtually worthless. So the solution, or one of the ways that they get around this, is by working for other companies that pay in US dollar, or in the particular case that we want to look at, they invest in basically exchanging in-game gold for US dollar. And they'll tend to do this in small groups inside their houses, kind of thing, and playing RuneScape essentially for a living by selling the gold and the items that they get and exchanging that for US dollar or crypto or whatever, and then selling that to get US dollar. So in the scenarios where Venezuelans are trying to play the game to amass gold to sell for US dollar, there's cases where pretty much their entire livelihood disappears if they suffer like an internet disconnection or misplay or do something that they shouldn't or something bad happens or just anything goes off plan basically. So what also tends to happen is because they're not actually skilled players for the most part, they're just people who want to earn an income, they don't necessarily have the best grasp of in-game mechanics, and so they will pretty much do anything to earn in-game currency, even if it's not the super efficient methods that we talked about earlier in the other episode, like Vorkath. For 2 mil or 3 mil an hour, they'll instead do something that just returns a few hundred K an hour just to have something. So to bring us back to the start, is it moral or ethical to just kill someone? Well, I mean, in games, yeah, right? Like, we have PvP content for a reason, and it's built in there, it's catered towards us. But what happens if, in this case, they are literally using their time and the money that they collect in-game to build an in-life profit for themselves so that they can go out and buy food for their family? So when you kill them in-game, they lose time, and more importantly, because of PvP death mechanics, they'll lose whatever items they were collecting or whatever money they've actually gained from the activity so far. So in this regard, you haven't really literally killed him, but you've pretty much taken food off his plate and off his family's plate. Now, the wilderness isn't a very big or popular area of the game. It's pretty low population, and it's usually PKing groups going around trying to find other, well, supposed to be other PKing groups, but they do prefer to pick on weak opponents that are there not for player killing. It's predominantly just groups of players running around and scouting out people who have valuable items and trying to get them. So it's not as popular for the Venezuelan players to be out there, but it is interesting because it is that scenario where you can literally kill someone and essentially take away some of their in real life livelihood. Now, moving towards the more high population areas, which do tend to have the higher gold accumulation rates, there's predominantly strategies around crashing or interrupting somebody else who was already there, kind of thing. The idea of this being that there's usually a case of you can't find a free world where the activity is not got someone there. So instead, you have to make somebody else who's already doing the activity get interrupted or prevent them from accumulating as efficiently by usually trying to out-damage them and therefore take a bigger piece of the loot, essentially. Now, it's not against the game rules to do this, because it is a massive multiplayer online game and there is limited number of resources available. So it's purely a competitive competition thing, so you're not safe. It's not against the rules to do this. It's not abusing someone. It's perfectly intentional, intended, and how the game is supposed to be played. So, what happens if one of the people that you end up crashing is one of these Venezuelans? Or, more commonly, what happens is they will get together in a small group to do some of the more popular multi-combat bosses in the game, such as the Gobwills dungeon like Bandos, which is probably the most packed boss that you could ever fight in the game, and you will never see a free world for it. So as a result, you will pretty much always need to crash someone to fight this boss. So if you crash a group of three or four Venezuelans or more killing Bandos, you will pretty much always be able to easily out-damage them and always secure the kill, which means you will always get the juicy loot, the reason to be there, the expensive drops. And all they can pretty much do is abuse you in Spanish, which you are unlikely to be able to understand anyway. So you rock on up in your maxed account with best in slot gear you've spent hundreds of millions of in-game gold on. They have bare bones setups, they can't do much at all, and they're doing like two or three trips before one of them needs to go back home to restock and come back. So pretty much you outclass them and out DPS the shit out of them, and they stand absolutely no chance of securing a kill. What you have done is essentially taken multiple families away of their ability to eat and drink and possibly have a place to live, and made it a lot more stressful for them as well by doing that. So, while killing someone in real life is probably not a ethical choice to make, killing someone in game is perfectly fine, and taking their shit that they've spent the last couple of hours collecting and making their lives harder for them in game is perfectly fine as well as a player of the game. There are absolutely roll-on side effects of that. Should you, as a player of the game, need to make the lives of people who are worse at the game easier so that they can afford food? Probably not. If you are the creator and maintainer of said game, how far do you accommodate for these players, or how far do you say, no, you can't use our game as a vehicle to put food on your table, do you go? Now, to put in a bit of context, real world trading, aka selling or buying in-game gold in exchange for real-life money is against the game rules, and the only way to do this without abusing the game rules is by purchasing an item through the in-game shop called a bond, which is basically just a receipt in-game that you can exchange for either membership, or you can sell it to other players for in-game currency, GP, and then they can also redeem that bond that they've bought off you. So you acquire a bond by paying real money to Jagex. Jagex then gives you in-game a bond. You can then use that bond to get a month of membership, or you can sell it on the marketplace or to players, and they can use that bond for membership. So it means that you can split it up so that there's players who are spending real life money to buy membership, or people are in a position where their characters are so advanced that they earn so much GP that they can afford to just buy membership with their in-game currency instead. And that is the only legitimate way to real world trade, or to exchange money between real life and the in-game economy. Obviously, a Venezuelan real world trading doesn't want to do that because it's the wrong side of the exchange. You can't cash out, you can only cash in. There are, however, not particularly reputable third-party vendors who will both buy and sell in-game gold. They will describe what rates they do this for you at, and then basically they will tell you, hey, meet this account in whatever area of the game, give them either the gold or pay them first and receive gold, and then bam bam, all done. So usually a Venezuelan group would funnel their gold into what is called a mule account, and that mule account would then process the second part or get rid of the gold for them, as they tend to work in small groups. So Jagex will over time track this gold as it moves. They apparently have ways to detect high value trades of this sort of nature or something, and then they will ban accounts and put punishments in place every however periodic they want to be. And then as part of that, they will also remove the gold that has entered the economy unjustly or not naturally or through abuse of some kind. Illegitimate gold, essentially. So, worst case scenario, Mr. Venezuelan could go out with his 4 million Venezuelan Bolivar to go buy a single can of Coke from a local shop. He could get home and have a permanent ban on the account that he's put so many months into to get loaves of bread and some vegetable soup on the table for his family, which would otherwise cost millions of local currency. What does any of this have to do with railways or trains or trolleys? So what this ends up with is a game of both cat and mouse, as Jagex needs to be able to understand where this gold is coming from, where it's going, and if it is being sold for real life money, to rectify that by destroying it and reversing or working, you know, taking the wealth out of people's accounts as it moves through the economy, and banning the accounts that are facilitating it. So this leaves Jagex in a position where they're faced with their own moral dilemma or trolley problem, really. Except it's kind of the other way, where at the moment there's no human lives on the track, and if they pull the lever, then the human lives are on the other track, for them anyway. As a player, you should be focusing on having your values being getting enjoyment out of the game, right? And prioritizing what you need to do in-game to meet whatever achievements you want to go for or earn gold or whatever, but you shouldn't need to consider that other people have real life problems behind their screens in your game experience. But what do you do if you're Jagex, or the person who owns and maintains the game? Do you cater towards them? Do you outright ban them just for existing? What do you do? To bring this together in a TLDR, Venezuela, super poor country, currency not worth jack shit. Find other options for earning income. Prefer US dollar, stable, reliable, everyone takes it. End up playing online games such as RuneScape in small groups. Work together, collect and share money-making ideas. And then at that point, up until that point, they've done nothing wrong. Then when they try to offload that in-game gold, when they try to sell that for US dollar or crypto or whatever, that is the point where they start breaking in-game rules. And that's the point where Jagex takes interest. Because before that point, they're just a normal player. After that point, they violate the game rules. What this presents is a situation for players in-game where almost literally killing people in-game or interrupting specifically Venezuelans, because mostly everyone else will play for fun and their own investment, whereas a Venezuelan player might be playing to secure them a livelihood, then by disrupting them or killing them, you are removing progress. You're taking away from their ability to put food on the table. Should you as a player care or cater towards this? No, it's not your problem. Move on, play the game how you want to have fun. Is it moral or ethical for me to, as a player, get a kick out of purposely disrupting them and watching them spam in Spanish and get tilted and do all kinds of crazy shit? It is absolutely fun to poke and get a reaction. It is probably not ethical, but hey, they probably shouldn't be using the game in this way either. And finally, how does that leave our friends, the creators of the game, the people who make the experience what it is and who look after it and have to moderate it? Unfortunately, it puts them into a ethical dilemma where they could, in theory, crack down on it a bit more. It does get difficult, though, because, as we covered, technically they are not breaking the rules until the point where they offload the gold. So it is a bit of a can of worms, and if they were like, hey, we don't want to support these types of players, would that be taken in a hostile way? Maybe. Would there be consequences? Who knows? Hey, it's part and parcel of running the game, I guess. Thank you very much. I'm Rob. This is Nearly Qualified. You're two episodes in. Well done. Keep it up. Until next time. See ya.